This is life in 40.
Tell me if you recognize any of this stuff.
I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40.
You know who that is?
Dead, basically. 40.
I feel like I should.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Ah! Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-aged spread.
Hey, Endo! This is what it is! You put one foot in front of the other, and
Mommy, Daddy.
Today, we're going to talk about the Fountain of Youth.
The first guy who says, I'm 40, I'm half dead, is Louis C.K.
Of course it is.
Is it Louis or Louis? Louis C.K.
He's so brilliant.
He's so funny. And he's a little, you know, a little on the edgy side. Even I'm
yes.
like, ooh, man, that is
yes.
strong language.
Yes.
And of course, we had the Kelly Clarkson from 40-Year-Old Virgin. And then Bill Burr, who is really my favorite comedian, who's also very edgy. He says things that are just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. Remember how comedians in the 80s could get away with saying anything?
Yes, I do remember that.
You can't really do that these days.
Yes.
In many cases. Bill Burr does not care. So he'll say things to make a point, and he's very good.
Yes. I think I heard a comedian say once that vulgarity is a shortcut.
Yeah.
To funny, and that it's really not that funny. Well, it's much harder to be clean and funny.
That's what Eddie Murphy was saying in his thing when he was making fun of Bill Cosby.
Yes.
He's like, you cannot say, you know.
Yeah.
He goes, if it's funny without the curse, then it's really funny. Anyhow, this is not Stephanie's voice that you're hearing, everybody.
No.
I guess I should have led with that. It's Robin Davis Sekula. Can we just call you RDS for
sure?
Short?
If that makes you happy.
Do people do that?
No.
Oh, well, we do now. we've actually been off for 2 weeks.
What?
I put a Facebook post up that says lack of preparation means it's time for vacation. I was out last week. And was ill-prepared for a show this week.
I don't believe it.
And Stephanie was out the week before. I haven't seen her in 3 weeks. And she's not here today because she was out on another little mini vacation this week. And her kid got sick. So
it happens. Been there.
We had you planning to come in anyway to talk about something very fun and life-altering.
Yes, I would agree with that. Absolutely.
So we'll talk. You took a trip to...
Kenya.
The yes. Dark Continent.
Yes.
I don't know... Which part of Africa Kenya is in?
I will give you a brief summary.
Okay.
And tell you all about it.
We sponsor a kid in Ghana.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Is that in Kenya?
No, that is another country.
Okay,
in
gotcha.
Africa.
I told you before we turned the mics on, you're going to expose my small worldview. I've traveled out of the country to the Dominican Republic to a nice resort.
Very nice.
That's about the extent of it. Yes. So we're going to talk to you about that and how that affected your life.
Okay.
I took a much shorter vacation. I went to Virginia last week with my family. And I don't know. You guys go on a vacation every year?
Yes, but we're switching it to now a spring or fall vacation because in Indiana, we have a 2-week fall break and a 2-week spring break. Spring break is a great time to take vacation.
Mm. Because you guys are on the weird
Balanced calendar.
Okay, if that's what you want to call it.
Sure. My kids are already back in school, and
crazy.
It is July 27th, isn't it?
28th.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah. I grew up in Indiana, so that's a little weird for me.
Yes.
Because it was traditionally, you know, the summertime thing.
Yes.
But vacation is a time for people of our age to let some things go. Would you agree?
I think so, yes.
Be more involved, be more present for our spouses and our children and the people that we love, and let our minds wander.
Absolutely.
And so I did a little bit of that. It's not, of course, when you got young kids, it's kind of hard to unplug from the way your life normally is because you're just picking it up and moving it somewhere else.
Absolutely.
You know. But our kids are getting older, so it was a little easier. I was sitting there on the beach. We went to Virginia Beach for 4 days, and then we did field hockey sort of inland in Virginia Beach for 3 days. My daughter, by the way, playing on a broken foot.
Oh,
she didn't
wow.
know it was broken. The first orthopedist said, it's just an ankle sprain. So she has a broken leg.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, not broken foot, broken leg. So anyhow, I'm telling you, that's what happened this week is on the way home. We found out all this stuff. It's like,
wow.
Dude. And it dawned on me while I'm sitting on the beach and I'm drinking beer with my brother who lives in Portsmouth.
Oh, nice.
Which is close
yeah.
to.
I love Portsmouth.
How this could be my life.
Yes.
If I chose it to be. And I think a lot of us at a certain age feel as if we're pinned into the lives that we have. Am I being too general with that statement?
No, I think that is a very accurate statement, and we're not nearly as penned in as we think we are.
I don't think so. I mean, I work for a big company, but that company is nationwide. I'll bet if I looked and it dawned on me, I could just move to Montana. I know we have markets in Montana. I could be a Montanan and land and cattle and all of that stuff. I wouldn't even have to change companies.
But I think in that role, you're sounding like you might turn yourself into Ted Turner. So I'm not sure you're going to get land and cattle when you move to Montana.
You don't?
No, it's not automatic.
Okay.
You have to buy those things.
Well, of course.
Yes.
I haven't investigated it very deeply, obviously.
I don't really see you as a cowboy.
Why not? I'm wearing boots.
Oh, well, pardon me. They zip. Come on. Boots that zip are not...
I got my Marco Rubio boots on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Come on. They zip. Real cowboys don't need the zipper. They just jump into them.
I used to have... Anyhow. Whatever. Don't judge me. I just put myself out for... That's why I put myself out for judgment, Robin.
Right. Well, you could live in Montana if you dearly wanted to. There's actually a couple from my CrossFit gym that he loves Montana, and they were visiting there, and he talked his wife into moving out there, and they did. And they live in Montana now. And it amazed...
They took kids with them? And
I don't think they have children, but okay. I can't honestly remember. But he would go out there for vacation, and... I don't know if his company moved him there or if he just figured out a way to do it, but you see a shift now in generations. I know people who have said, I want to live in Chicago, and they go move to Chicago, and then they figure it out,
mm-hmm.
and they find a job once they're there. It's the reverse of what we did at our age bracket. It's a more of a millennial thing. I really admire it.
I did that when I got out of college. I moved to Florida. I didn't have a job. I had a little bit of money. I didn't have a girlfriend. I said, I think I want to live in Florida. So I did. And it didn't take. That's why I'm back in Kentucky. But, you know, Florida's kind of a weird environment.
It is. And speaking of that, I just finished reading another Carl Hiaasen book. I love Carl Hiaasen. He's a mystery author. He's also a columnist for the Miami Herald. And he really skewers Florida culture in his books. If you have not read him and you've spent any time in Florida, I highly recommend his books.
Is it funny?
It's funny, but it's dark humor.
Okay.
So as long as you can handle the darkness, that's okay.
Okay, I should have saved that for the What You Like This Week segment.
I've got another thing for you.
But you're a rookie.
I'm sorry.
This is the second time you've been on the show, though.
Yeah.
Did we talk last time you were here? Did we put out the question, if you could do whatever, like tomorrow, and change your life, what would it be? And my thing was, might surprise you, I would go move to the Texas border and be a border patrol agent, like a horseback border patrol agent.
Yeah.
I think that would be very solitary and very...
But you're a people person, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so.
But why would you want to be solitary?
Maybe because I've had too much of people.
This is a bad week for Dan.
I've overloaded. You people are driving me crazy.
You've been watching Walker, Texas Ranger.
But I told you, it would be a life change. So I would be completely altering the life that I now have. And I do enjoy people, and I do enjoy Louisville and the people that are in my circle. You know, you guys are great. But if I could do it differently, it would be completely different.
Apparently. Yeah. Wow, we've heard Montana and Texas, and both of these things involve like cattle and being a cowboy.
Yeah.
Like manly stuff. Very impressive.
I guess that is manly.
Yeah.
I didn't even put the two together.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I did get to spend time with the kids. I think that's important.
Very.
Because life is so nuts.
Yes, it is.
With, you know, work stuff, and it just doesn't stop during the summer. Did you spend time doing things when you were a kid during the summer, or did you spend more time watching MTV like I did?
Well, I don't. See, I think I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 45.
I'm 45.
Oh,
well, I have a young face.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think we spent the majority of our time running up and down the street and riding our bikes and drinking out of the hose.
But nothing organized.
No.
Or little organized.
No.
I played baseball, but that was it.
I went to my aunt's house for usually a week in the summer, and my cousin came to my house for a week, and then I might go to camp for a week or... And then the rest of it, I just kind of ran around.
Did your parents both work?
Yes. My mom was a teacher at the school.
Okay. But she had summers off?
Yes.
So, okay, there's that flexibility.
Yeah.
Like these days, a lot of a lot of people are working all summer long, and you have to find organized activities to do for your kids, which I lament a little bit. You know.
Well, I do and I don't, because this is the first summer we have not done that, because my oldest is now 13, my twins are 11, and they, for the past, I believe, 4 or 5 years, they've gone to the Fraser Museum, has a wonderful camp that they adore. And they have learned so much there. And even their teachers will comment how much they know about history and how they understand context. And my kids have been some of the first to volunteer for things. And they said, you know, we really have to commend you on how much they get out of that camp, because they know an incredible amount of things that we would not expect them to know. Mm. And they've learned it in a fun way. And so that was very valuable to them. But now we have entered the wonderful age where my oldest can be a volunteer at the Fraser camp.
Right.
So she loves it, and she still goes, but I don't have to pay.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. So we've had, but you know, with our summer only being 8 weeks.
That's right.
We don't have to cover that much territory, really.
Yeah, we got to cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, that's a lot of time to keep your kids happy.
If you guys sent your kids back to school in Indiana, I sent my kid to church camp this week. Like, she's got a whole another month to go.
Yeah.
A month plus.
Yeah.
So.
It breaks it up some.
Yeah. We'll table that for another day.
Okay.
I did want to put out it's something that you might start using this hashtag. I have a friend, my wonderful friend Michelle, who I worked with in Florida when I moved down there. We were in radio together. She's in the music biz somehow. She works for Samsung or something. I don't know. She stayed in radio. One day on Facebook, she put up a picture of a creek. Mm-hmm. And she took it, and there were people in the background, and she says, here's what's going on right now. There's an old couple walking and holding hands, and there are three kids playing over here throwing rocks, and there's a guy with his dog. And it dawned on her, this was last year maybe, she's probably 43 or something. I don't know. She's in her 40s. If you're not Michelle, please forgive me. I didn't think you were that much younger than me, though. And she started using the hashtag quality of life clause because she was taking a break from work. She had had too much that day. She went down the elevator in Atlanta where she works and walked out to this park where there's this creek, and she saw all of this stuff going on around her while she was up in an office stressed out and freaked out. And she, from that moment forward, she started using the quality of life clause hashtag. It's just her thing.
Right.
But when you are present enough of mind to go, look what I'm doing right now.
Right.
This is what I want to be doing. Right. Hashtag quality of life clause. So I encourage everybody to start using that.
I like that very much. It's about being present in that moment and really enjoying it. Although I do have to say, some of my best moments as a parent have been the time we were in Gatlinburg and my phone died. And
yes.
I couldn't take pictures.
Yeah.
I couldn't tweet. I couldn't do anything. I just really had to just be there.
You have to be aware of the usage of even your camera on your phone. Because your kids still see you just looking at a screen, even if you're taking a picture. We don't post vacation pictures as it's happening. Mm-hmm. By principle, my wife objects to people knowing that we're out of town.
Oh, okay.
And so
that's fairly common. I
sneak in a couple on Instagram every now and then, but she's not on Instagram, so she doesn't know.
Now she does.
Till somebody busts me out,
which
happened last week. I know. Yeah. But anyhow, those are the things that I thought about.
Yes.
This doesn't have to be my life.
Right.
I really love my kids at this age. 12, 10, and 7. They are perfect.
Aren't they?
They
I
are
love
the
those ages.
Perfect ages for me to really dig in. Get involved with who they're becoming, and get to know what they're thinking, because now they can actually talk to me about what they're thinking instead of just emotionally reacting to something.
Oh, yes.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, there's not as much tears at our house now. There's more statements and questions and thoughts.
Yes.
And I love that
stuff. I'm sure they blow your mind. I know that your kids blow your mind on a regular basis. You're pretty good at sharing that stuff.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, and occasionally there are things that almost feel a little bit too profound or personal or intimate for Facebook. Like, here's an example. Anna, who is 11, she was helping me fold a basket of warm laundry one day. And she said, is folding Abby's clothes the closest you get these days to hugging her?
Oh.
And it was so like true and profound and beautiful and sad all at the same time. And she saw that look on my face. She said, "I'm sorry, I was trying to be funny." And I said, "No, I said you didn't say anything wrong. Mm-mm. I just there's just a lot of truth to that."
Yeah.
But Anna is that one.
Did you immediately drop the clothes and go hug your kid?
No,
because I couldn't have helped myself.
She I don't know. She may not have even been home. But yeah, no.
Oh my gosh, Mom, stop hugging me.
Right, yeah, you get that. I mean, I picked them up after 5 days last week at camp and was like, I'm thinking I'm going to get my hug. And yeah. They're like, eh.
Mm-mm, no excuses. Bring it in.
Yeah.
That's got to be that way.
Not in front of their friends.
Well, we'll see.
But now and then, Abby will just walk up and hug me out of nowhere.
I love it.
I do too.
That's the best feeling.
Oh,
okay, yeah. So life change, kid time, and my quality of life clause, which I thought a lot about this week, because I really was ensconcing myself in the quality of life. Even when I had had way too much beach, I didn't have enough to drink. I didn't have nearly enough to drink, but I had a sunburn on my arm up here that was bothering me, and the kids wouldn't quit with me wanting to go in the ocean, and I just had enough.
Yeah.
But it was still a quality moment.
Yeah.
So let's transition into part two of the conversation.
Okay.
We've talked enough about my lame Virginia vacation and thoughts. Mm-hmm. You did something when? When was this?
I went May 11th, I think, was the day I left, and I was there. I was gone about a total of 9 or 10 days.
And you went to Kenya.
Yes, I did.
For what purpose?
I serve on the U.S. Board of Trustees of an organization called Send a Cal.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it slowly because if I say Send a Cal, it sounds like a laxative.
Send a Cal. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
ask your doctor about Send a Cal.
Right. Yeah, right. So so I try to make sure people know we're talking about cows.
Send a Cal.
So they started 30 years ago. They're UK-based. We have a U.S. board now because our hope is to begin to fundraise and make people aware in the United States of the work that we're doing.
So they actually send cows to Africa?
They did it one time. That was how they started.
Okay.
Because the thinking among some of the farmers in the U.K. was, hey, we've got a couple of cows to spare, and a cow to an African family is an amazing thing for them because and you're talking about dairy cows. They would not eat the cow because that's not that doesn't take you far enough. A dairy cow
eventually
gives them,
though.
Yeah, well,
I mean, come on.
Well,
you
think
can't fight the inevitable.
Well, with the dairy cows, you're going to get milk for a long, long time, and milk is a vital source of protein and something they probably wouldn't have any other way. And for most of the very rural African families. Then they also hope to produce additional cows, and the manure that the cow gives.
It's fertilizer.
And they live in a place where the farming methods haven't necessarily been the best over the years. And also Kenya was a British colony up until the 1960s, and lots of tobacco was
You're
grown.
Blowing my mind.
Yeah. And the tobacco strips the land of nutrients.
Interesting.
So now that farmers are not growing as much tobacco and they're reclaiming the land for native crops that will grow well and feed their families.
What are native crops in Kenya?
Well, we saw a lot of things. There were lots and lots of banana trees. We ate an avocado that was plucked right off of a tree. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And yummy. We saw a lot of maize there, which I believe would be corn to us.
Sure.
Lots and lots and lots of it. You will see some.
They don't feed that to the cow, do they?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's the same.
Mostly you're feeding the cow things like there's certain kind of weeds that you find.
Cows eat grass. They don't eat corn.
Sure, but
that's
you're not talking about places with lawns.
Yeah, I know. All right.
You might have a weedy field, and there's certain kinds of weeds that you want the cow to eat because it's supposed to help produce milk.
Okay.
So
yeah.
They know all of that stuff. It was when I was asked to join, I was compelled to join the board because of their mission, not because I know anything about cows. And virtually everyone else on this trip knows something about cows. So
you're
that
bringing
was,
a different skill set to the team,
which I don't know what it is. Enthusiasm? I don't know.
She's fun. Let's bring her on a trip.
Right. It was kind of like that. Yeah. So
that's a good position to be in.
Yeah. So. For me, it was, I had never been to a developing country. So that was a big eye opener. I'd never been to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And knew
what was nothing. The most exotic or a far traveled place maybe you had been? Europe, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, Italy's probably the furthest I'd been from home. I had been to Tijuana for an afternoon in January.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, right.
We'll get into those stories.
We just walked the downtown streets, and that's the closest I'd ever come to going to a developing country. I think that's
Tijuana.
It. Yeah, well, you know. but yeah, I mean, that was it. So for me, most of the people in our group had been to Africa or even had lived in Africa. They were much more familiar than I was.
So how long was the flight?
Well, I flew from Louisville to Newark, and then I had to find a way to get to JFK. Yeah, that was something. And then from JFK, I flew to Dubai. That was 13 hours. And then from Dubai, I flew 5 hours to Kenya. And then
that's not nearly as bad as I thought it would be, I guess.
It was it was about 36 hours of travel.
It takes like 11 hours to get to Hawaii, right?
Sure, I don't know.
I've been. Okay. I should know.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I flew into Nairobi, and then we spent the night there, and then we flew to Western Kenya to a place called Kisumu, which is relatively remote. Oh, it's on the shores of Lake Victoria, so most of the places we went were kind of up and down Western Kenya.
Okay. Is this Africa with just wild animals roaming around? Elephants, giraffes, all these things. Again, I have a very no context for any of this.
We saw in most of the places we were, we did not see that so much because we were in places where there were people.
Okay.
But, for example,
I'm thinking of the Congo, maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, you would probably see that in parts.
Okay.
But in Nairobi, for example, Nairobi's a huge African city. It's just mammoth. And
compare it to something here.
Let's see. I'm trying to. I think it would be maybe about the size of LA.
Gee whiz!
It's very, very large.
Okay.
In terms of population, something like that. And okay. I would say
modernized city.
Yes. Okay. For the most part, depending on what part you're in. Like most cities. You know, you would expect. I mean, there's a very large slum area. It's the largest slum in Africa is in
mm-hmm.
Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a city in which you need to be careful.
Okay.
You do not take a taxi unless the hotel calls it for you. There's Uber in Nairobi. Probably wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, inside Nairobi, I spent 2 days in Nairobi on the far end of the trip. And inside Nairobi, there's a national park. And I hired a guide, and a couple of us went and took us on, kind of on this safari. And this national park is inside.
Within the city limits.
Yes.
Okay.
So we saw.
Kind of like Cherokee Park here.
Yeah, yeah. Very much so.
Okay.
But add some lions, giraffes.
Yeah, with crazy wild
hogs.
A little bit more exotic than a possum.
Yeah, right, yeah. So, but yeah, we saw all of that, and that was really cool. And then we went to an elephant sanctuary and a giraffe sanctuary.
Is this the front end of the trip?
That was the far end.
Okay. So when you get on a plane and you get to Newark, we've all been to Newark.
Yes.
And then you get to Dubai. Did you spend any time there, or did you just in the airport? Okay. So when did you start to have some sort of spiritual transformation?
The first day that we were in Western Kenya, they took us to the homes of some people who will be working with Sendakau in the future. And this is in a particular area of Kenya that has a very high HIV rate, twice the national average of the rest of Kenya.
Mm. Which is probably already pretty high, right?
Yes. And they receive the drugs that they need free from the government, but they live in very remote areas with no transportation.
Mm.
So for them to go to the doctor and get the drugs is quite a journey, but they can get those. But then they have to take them on a very rigorous schedule, and the drugs make you nauseous and hungry, but these are people who
at the same time.
Yeah, it's delightful.
Weird.
And these are people who literally have no idea where their next meal is coming from.
Yeah.
And they face days when it's like, well, will I eat or the kids eat? The kids will always eat.
So what went through your mind or your spirit or your whatever?
That first day to me was very heavy because we were literally talking to people who were starving.
Yeah.
and it was very difficult.
And we say starving in the United States.
We have no
idea. And there is starving, don't get me wrong. But relatively speaking, we really don't know what we're talking
about. The hunger that you and I have experienced and that most people listening to this have experienced is nothing compared to this. I mean, it was really startling to me to sit. We were sitting in these houses, no electricity, a mud-packed home with a couple of rooms, and just talking to them. It was very quiet, but it was not peaceful. I did not feel at peace because I felt very deeply ashamed of my Western lifestyle.
Weird.
And the high level of consumption, and feeling really motivated to want to do something. And the American impulse is, please take all of my money.
Yeah.
And that is not where we need to go. What we need to stop doing in Africa and developing countries is giving handouts of money, because we are not doing anything to help these people.
It's giving a man a fish, to use that old.
Yeah. So what Sendical does is they have groups of what they call peer farmers. They're almost all women, and the people they're working with are women. They are the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And they will go to farms and talk to them about farming methods and how to plant things in such a way that so a banana tree will get enough water to live through the dry season, because you have a lot of drought. So you need to plan ahead for that, and where to grow, where to put your compost pile. And so you're not always getting livestock. You're getting whatever it is that you need to flourish.
Okay. What are the men doing?
The men might have a job. They might be working together with their wives on the farm. It's the woman is tasked primarily with...
Is everybody interested in working? Again, this is kind of a weird question, but...
Yes.
You know, I got this vision. You say the women are out in farming, and I hope that, culturally speaking, the men aren't permitted to just be the house, you know, the king of the house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at?
Yes.
Without being, you know...
Well,
jerk about it.
Right. It really would not even be possible, I don't think, for someone to exist there and not work in some capacity.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to eat. It's just not going
to
happen.
I would imagine they want to work. They want to feel productive produce and feel good about what they're doing for their communities and their families, certainly their families. And so they're motivated to do it. Maybe they just don't have the opportunities or the resources, and that's what Sendical is doing.
Right.
Yes?
Right. So okay. It's just more that the women are kind of tending to the homestead, so the farming duties tend to fall under them.
Okay.
Some of the men are what they call pastoralists, which I think is how you say that, and these are people who, they might have a herd, but the herd is mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So they're traveling with the herd. Some men are, and sometimes it's sons as well, are out riding a motorbike and giving people rides on the back, and they charge for that, sort of a taxi.
Okay.
Or they are tuk-tuk, which is a three-wheeled thing that's kind of covered, and it's like a taxi as well. So they might have those type of jobs. They might be out selling. But the most successful farms we went to were ones where both the husband and wife were working together in partnership.
Okay.
So that was uplifting.
So this is a British organization.
Yes.
With the United States. Are there other countries that are contributing to the progression of Africa, I guess?
Really, the organization has concentrated its efforts in the UK because, well, their fundraising efforts, and they're very well known where they're located.
That's a dumb question. I'm thinking of other organizations have to be doing other things.
Oh,
yeah?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes. There are plenty of other organizations that are working in Africa.
Okay.
What I particularly like about Sendical is that they are not going there and doing it for someone. They are going there and assessing needs and then building a project around what the biggest need is in that area. So this Kakral project that they're getting ready to do in Kenya will tend to the needs of 600 families in this region that is struck so hard by HIV.
Mm.
So it's more of a macro level work that they're doing. They're not saying everybody gets a cow. They're not Oprah, you know. It's more assessing what people need. And they're also discovering, because they are holistic in their approach, that a cow isn't the right solution for everyone. So the Kakral region, they can help many more people by helping them with growing fruits and vegetables and other crops than they can if they try to give them all livestock.
So what changing gears slightly.
Yes.
We've talked about the first moment where you realized something was going to go on inside of you.
Yes.
What was the most uplifting moment when you were like, oh, this is the greatest trip, where you just had that charged feeling of we're doing something here and I need to share this with people?
The second day of our trip was, it was really start to finish, I would put in probably the top 5 days of my life.
How about that?
The start of the day, we went to a farm and we talked to a man who's running the farm because his wife had passed away. She was working with the Syndical people, but then she passed away and now he's running the farm.
How old was she?
50s, maybe. I'm not certain.
Is that good in Africa? Life expectancy?
We met people who were certainly much older.
Okay.
Not particularly. I wouldn't say that's good, but it's not. It probably wouldn't be all that unusual.
Okay.
It's a tough life.
Yeah.
So we toured the farm. We saw these amazing buildings that he had, you know, they wouldn't be buildings to us, but like little sheds he built for the animals, and how he was now doing things differently in the kitchen and how proud he was of it. The sense of pride that he felt in his farm was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then they said, and we want each of you to plant a tree and we're going to name it after you.
Aww.
And to me, it was like someone, I just felt this amazing sense that this tiny little thing that I was going to do, that I could leave something behind. That was incredibly
assuming
meaningful.
You didn't tell the wrong joke and the guy decided not to water your tree.
The funny thing, well, that is something I would do. But luckily, he only spoke Swahili.
Okay.
I'm not funny in Swahili. I don't know why.
I guess not.
The funny thing is they could not, my first name, Robin, they just
doesn't translate.
They could not get it. My last name, Sakula, they were right on it. Because they said it sounded Ugandan. And I said, I don't know if you've seen me, but I'm not Ugandan. So that was great. And then we continued. The next farm we went to was a woman who had built an irrigation system with the help of Syndical. And I asked her, I just wanted to shoot a short video with her about what Syndical had done for her. And she sang this song that she made up about Syndical. And then the third place we went, they greeted us with dancing and they had gifts for us. And it was the coolest thing in the world. And it was just really neat. And I think that was also the day they surprised us by taking us to meet Barack Obama's grandma.
Oh, that's right.
That was very cool.
Yeah. Same day?
I think that was all that incredible. Same day. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Each day brought its own blessings. Literally at the end of that week, my face hurt from smiling.
Mm. Man. I would imagine that after that experience, you're thinking, everybody needs to do something like this at some point in their life.
Yes.
Whatever that opportunity is. And I'd say, Stephanie and I did a thing 1 week about serving and what our families do and what other things that families can do just around here. And it seems like serving others, it's the truth. Serving others is the greatest reward you'll ever give yourself.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
Okay.
I think that is true, and I think there's a lot of things we can do that aren't going to Africa that are much smaller community that are very impactful and very meaningful. For me, what this was about was understanding the larger world, because I've done a fair amount of volunteer and service in the country and some inner cities, and I have somewhat of a sense of that. But seeing the level of poverty there and also understanding the change in role from someone who is here to save these people to someone who is here to support them.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very different change.
Yeah.
It's a different mindset.
You know what? Both serve a purpose.
Yes.
Do they not?
Well, yeah, except that the role, I don't think that Westerners do folks in third world countries a lot of good when they say, oh, I'm here to save you. No. Mm-hmm. They have their own gifts and own blessings and their own culture, and we should honor that in the work and the mission work that we do.
Yeah.
Some groups are great about that. Many are coming to this. You're seeing a lot of talk about it, which is great. But and there also has to be some dignity. They have to participate in it.
It's almost a difference in the reaction that you have when you see a need for something. One, like you said, is take all my money. Well, that's a very proactive, oh, here, I see what the problem is, and here I'm going to solve it.
Right.
And the other one is asking a question, how can I help you?
Right.
It's just a different approach to the same
right.
intention. It's
right.
not like the people who are going into, they don't, it's not like they have bad intentions.
Right.
They're just, maybe a little mental shift would help.
Well, I think so, because one of the things they told us before we went was do not give money, do not give gifts. You're going to want to. Don't do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Because
weird.
It changes the nature of the relationship between you and that person.
Yeah.
They will see you differently and you will see them differently. It creates a hierarchy. It puts you above them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not where we want to be. Where we want to be is on an equal
yeah.
footing with these folks so that we can help them in partnership.
Send a Cow is obviously an organization in which people can with which people can be involved.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Well, they don't do a ton of trips like I did. It's a bit unusual because it requires a lot of labor and time and all that sort of thing. In the U.S., the main thing that we're trying to do here is just to let people know that we exist and
okay.
the kind of work that we do. So I am open to coming and speaking places if people would like for me to do that. There's not so much something for people to do here. In the UK, there are some bike rides and things that people do to raise money and some of those activities. So it's not probably as participatory as people would like.
But, I mean, obviously, they're a fundraising organization.
Right,
yes?
Absolutely.
So if you need to rescue somebody and you want
right.
to do it very quickly and easily,
you can do that.
Write a check to them.
Absolutely.
Or donate online, I suppose, is
yes.
the 2017 version of that.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah. we have a U.S. fundraising site, the Cackrell Project that I mentioned, is on that site. And also, we are raising money for an appeal in Uganda. The famine is quite bad in Uganda. Uganda is right next to Kenya, like Victoria separates them.
Okay.
The one hotel we stayed at was right on the border with Uganda. We could see it, and it's a major like transportation hub kind of area. I actually have a friend from high school who is a missionary in Uganda and runs an orphanage there. She's been there, I bet, 20 years.
Yeah, I've got a guy from Madison who is in Ghana, and
mm-hmm.
we're Facebook friends. It's from the wonderful the Jenkins family in Madison. They all have these beautiful hearts, and Jarvis is over there serving, and it dawned on me, I'm like, our kid is in Ghana, and I said,
yes.
If you ever run across a kid named Pakwesi, he goes, oh, there are lots of kids named Pakwesi around here, and I said, well, he lives here in this, and he goes, I'm up in that area a couple times a month, and I'm like, wouldn't that be incredible?
Yeah.
If Jarvis right. were able to go, meet my kid, I don't know that we'll ever meet him. Prince O2 is his other name. He has two names. I don't. There's a reason for that, and we've been told what that reason is. I just can't remember it right now.
Right. That took the whole. There were lots and lots of Old Testament names, biblical names, all over the place in Kenya, which is a result of the colonization, and there were many, many missionaries in Kenya for a long time, and I think still are. But it was funny. There was a Nicodemus who was a porter at a hotel and
yeah.
checked me into my room. It was just lots and lots of those biblical names you just don't hear anywhere else.
My 10-year-old girl has a guinea pig named Chad, which
oh.
is short for Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, of course it is.
I think she got that from a Disney thing.
Anyway, it's potential.
I don't want to. I am working on a time crunch here, and I don't want to cut you short because this is a fascinating story, and we want to really dive in. Maybe at another time. Is that all right?
I feel complete in what I've said.
And you do?
Yes. I would be happy to talk more about it if anybody would
okay,
like
Okay, well, I'm going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to talk about...
What you like this week.
It's what I like this week. And I spent a lot of time with my brother. This is something people are going to laugh at, and you might even scorn me for this. A couple years ago, I built a playlist on Spotify that had a bunch of songs from my youth, and I called it Sounds from Mom and Dad's Clock Radio.
It's not I Like Hair Bands, so sue me?
It's not. That came later in life.
I follow that.
This is more representative
okay.
of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You know this song?
Yes.
Okay. You can't hear it because I'm...
Isn't
I love
yeah.
Yacht Rock.
Oh, yes.
It's what I like this week.
Yes.
My brother and I spent so much time talking about these great old songs that remind us of driving around in my mom's blue Pontiac in 1978, coming out of her AM radio. Steal Away by... that's his go-to, is Robbie Dupree's Steal Away. This is the one that got me on it a couple years ago.
gosh.
I love these songs because they are so well crafted and thought out, and the studio is used as an instrument, and it's corny.
So smooth.
So smooth.
Yeah. I do love Yacht Rock as well.
I'm glad you do. I think maybe that's a generational thing. This is the poster. Slap of the bass.
Yeah.
I had a couple of prepared. This is Boz Scaggs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's the king of
Yacht Rock. He is.
We have this station programmed in on our Sirius, on our radio.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, that's what my brother listens to. But I like to think that I'm ahead of the game because I built that playlist like 2 years ago.
Wow.
And it's got all these songs on it. So
There's actually in Spotify, there's a Yacht Rock playlist that's pretty good that I follow. And it's got Hall & Oates. It's a little bit more 80s than 70s because Yacht Rock kind of crosses that border.
Yep.
Do you ever go see Tony and the Tan Lines locally?
I haven't.
Right up your alley.
I will do that. Tony and the Tan and Yacht Rock Review is tours around, and they
Yeah,
I haven't seen them. That'd so anyway, fun. Yacht Rock. That's what I like this week.
Well, what I like this week is also a throwback. We started watching Golden Girls from the beginning.
Oh, very popular.
Yes, and it is so hysterical, and I had forgotten just how great it is. And I think we're about episode 3. And I really, Dorothy is definitely
so funny.
She is a riot, and the grandma.
Who wrote that?
Was it Paul Younger Witt? I think I've seen his name on the credits.
I'd have to go back and look. That it's so sharp.
It is.
Can you imagine more fun than being, you know, one of the girls in that house?
Oh, I aspire to be. I've already picked out my 3.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. So I'm doing this. I mean. You know, it's unfortunate that people have to die for this scenario to occur.
Unfortunate is the word she used. It's tragic?
Maybe. No. I mean, when you're younger, the scenario is Big Love, and you have a little commune, and you have sister wives.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you're older, it's Golden Girls.
Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Well, Robin, thank you for coming in and pinch hitting today.
Glad to do it.
Glad that you're satisfied with dropping your African knowledge on us.
Happy to do it.
I hope it inspired people to do something. We can all do something.
Absolutely.
Let's make the world a better place, everybody. We'll talk to you next week with any luck.
Bye.